When it comes to this issue of salvation and a new start and a transformation by grace, it is almost as if God gives us an instantaneous zap when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us the very moment we reach out to God in faith, that very moment grace transforms us. Our eternity is changed and life becomes new because we experience the very life of Jesus Christ. Grace can change anything. Not to us, but to your
name be the glory. Yes! Thank you for joining us on Truth That Changes Lives. Pastor J.P. Jones is the senior pastor of Crossline Community Church in Laguna Hills, California, and a professor in biblical studies at Biola University. Today on Truth That Changes Lives, Pastor J.P. will be giving us a message from a series entitled Believe. Let's listen as J.P. gives us part one of So Great a Salvation.
If you have your Bibles, would you open to Ephesians chapter 2? Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to continue in this discussion about what we believe, and as we have shared with you, today we're talking about what we believe about salvation. What we believe matters. What we believe, what we think about, what we hold on to determines how we feel, determines our attitudes, determines our actions, determines the direction of our lives. Jesus said this, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free." If we believe the truth, it'll set us free. On the other hand, if we are believing lies, it'll hold us in bondage. And with respect to this issue of salvation, everybody believes something. If you believe the truth, then it is setting you free today and it'll set you free for all eternity. On the other hand, if what you believe about salvation is false, it's holding you in bondage and you may not even know it. And if you continue to believe what's false, it'll hold you in bondage for all eternity. You see, what we believe matters. And so Ephesians chapter 2 tells us that salvation is by grace through faith, and that every one of us is a candidate for God's grace. Every one of us can be transformed by God's grace, and God's grace will make a difference in our lives today, and God's grace will make a difference in our lives for all eternity. You maybe have seen the movie Evan Almighty. It's the part two of the original Bruce Almighty. There's a scene in Bruce Almighty where Bruce, played by Jim Carrey, has come to the end of his rope, which is exactly where God wanted him to come to. And he's out walking on the highway, and it's raining, and he falls down on his knees, and he lifts up his arms, and he said, "I surrender. I surrender." And then all of a sudden, he's covered in this light, and he kind of looks like there's going to be this epiphany of God, and the light's coming from the headlights of a truck that runs right into him, bam, and kills him. And then all of a sudden, he's in heaven. And there he is with Morgan Freeman, who's playing the role of God. And they have a conversation. And Morgan Freeman asks him, what does he want? And because Bruce has come to this place of surrender, he's reflecting back on the relationship with his girlfriend, whose name is Grace. And he says, "I just want Grace to be happy. I just want her to be happy." And he says it like a prayer. And then God looks at him with his fingers out and says, "Now that's a prayer." And he pokes him in the chest, and all of a sudden, and he gets a jolt. He goes, "Oh!" And then he pokes him again, and gets another jolt. And he said, "That hurts." And then he pokes him again, and all of a sudden, he's back on the street, and the jolt is coming from the paramedic who's shocking his heart, bringing him back to life. Have you ever faced an issue in your life where you just wish God would give you a holy zap and everything would be different? I mean, just zap you and make the bad situation good. Make the confusion clear. Wipe away that awesome, terrible situation and just replace it with everything that you hope for. Just give me a holy zap, God. I'm not going to tell you this morning holy zap theology. I don't think that God promises that life is just going to be instantly turned around. However, when it comes to this issue of salvation and a new start and a transformation by grace, it is almost as if God gives us an instantaneous zap when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. In fact, Ephesians chapter 2 tells us the very moment we reach out to God in faith, that very moment grace transforms us. Our eternity is changed and life becomes new because we experience the very life of Jesus Christ. Grace can change anything. I would imagine in an audience this size that if we were to peel back what's going on in our lives, there's some of us facing some pretty tough stuff. And maybe some of us just ordinary stuff. But you know what? Grace relates to all of it. And whether you're here this morning as someone who knows Christ as your Savior, or you're here as someone that's maybe the most foreign thing you can imagine, you need grace. You need grace. The Bible tells us that salvation is by grace through faith. Ephesians chapter 2 puts it this way. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. And like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and that's not of yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which he prepared in advance for us to do. Three observations from this passage. The need for salvation by grace through faith, the blessing of salvation by grace through faith, and the result of salvation by grace through faith. You see, every person here and every person who has ever lived and ever will live has a need for salvation by grace through faith. It's what we talked about last week, if you were with us, when we discussed this reality of what the Bible calls sin. And we talked about the fact that there's bad news, there's good news, and the gospel of Christ is the good news that overcomes the bad news. And you got to know the bad news so you can really appreciate the good news. In Ephesians 2, verses 1 to 3, it's another reinforcement of this statement about bad news. It says, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Every person, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, is spiritually dead, cut off from the life of God. And the realm of this deadness is described here in Ephesians 2 as being dead in transgressions and sins. Two Greek words. The word for sins is the Greek word hamartia. The word for transgressions or trespasses, maybe your Bible has it that way, is the word periptoma. Hamartia is a word that literally means to miss the mark. And in ancient Greek times, when an archer would fire an arrow at the target, they would measure the distance from where the arrow hit and the bullseye. And the word for that missing of the mark was hamartia. And it didn't matter whether the miss was this small or the miss was this big. It was a miss. God says, we all have sinned and we fall short of the glory of God. Some of us miss bigger than others, but we all miss. We miss the mark. That's the word hamartia. The word periptoma is a word that means a misstep or a stepping off the path. Think about it in terms of being on a tightrope with no net, and you're walking across that tightrope, and then you just kind of have one little misstep. I mean, it's a small misstep, but you know what it ends in? Ah! A splat at the bottom. This is what the Bible says. We were dead in our transgressions and sins, in our periptomas and hamartia. Every person has a sin problem. And as we talked about last week, that sin problem has a consequence of death. And death is described three ways in the Bible. There's physical death, there's spiritual death, and there's eternal spiritual death in hell. Every person, apart from a relationship with Jesus Christ, is spiritually cut off from the life of God, dead in trespasses and sins, under the curse of physical death, spiritually dead, and moving towards an eternity of eternal death. That's bad news. In fact, Paul explains it this way. It says, you were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air who is now at work in the sons of disobedience. He says in this sphere of spiritual death, we were deceived in this spiritual battle with the prince of the power of the air. He's making reference to Satan. There's a larger spiritual battle that we are being caught up in and being deceived by. And then it says, verse 3, that we walked according to the course of this world, indulging in the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were like the rest, it says, objects of God's wrath. It's describing a lifestyle of separation from God. And because of that, there is a great need for grace. I need grace. You need grace. And every person needs grace. Because apart from grace, we are dead in trespasses and sins. Let's suppose I had a cadaver, a medical cadaver here. And I had it up here on the podium. And I approached that cadaver and I bent down, got right next to its ear, and I said, hey, help me out here. Why don't you get up? Okay? Get up. Get up. Get up. Hey, get up. You know, I could scream till I was blue in the face, and that cadaver is not going to get up. You know why? There's no life in it. There's no capacity to hear and respond to what I'm yelling at it because it's dead. The Bible says the human condition, dead spiritually. We are unable in ourselves to do anything about our problem. We can't even respond to the offer of God apart from his intervention in our lives. Why? Because we're dead in sin. And that's why every person needs grace, because grace imparts life. Grace wipes away our debt. Grace gives us a new start. Grace gives us a holy zap. And we become new people in Jesus Christ. There is a need for grace. Salvation is by grace through faith, and every one of us needs it. This passage explains that there's a tremendous blessing when we come to understand this message and respond to this message. It says this in Ephesians 2, verses 4 through 9. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It's by grace you've been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in kindness to us in Christ. For it's by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves, it's the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. The blessing that comes from salvation is that we are completely identified and made new with Jesus Christ. And it's all because of what God does. It says in this passage that even when we were dead, God, who is rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, made us alive with Christ. It's by grace we've been saved. You see, it's so clear that this awesome gift of salvation is wholly a work of God. It's his love, his mercy, his grace that makes it possible. And his love, his mercy, and his grace is towards me and it's towards you. Every one of us is a candidate for this salvation by grace through faith because of the love, mercy, and grace of God. In fact, the whole Trinity is involved in our salvation. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. It says this in Ephesians chapter 1. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ, for he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and his will. Wow. I don't claim to understand everything that's said there, but it's pretty clear. God, before time began, chose us and predestined us and initiated a relationship with us. It says this in 1 Corinthians 15, 3 and 4. For what I received, I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried and that he was raised on the third day according to the scriptures. This passage says that a specific place in time in history, Jesus Christ died for our sins. And he was buried, and he was raised again on the third day. God the Son stepped out of eternity, took on humanity, and lived a perfect sinless life, and then died as a payment for our sin, and then rose again from the dead. And Titus chapter 3 says this about the work of the Spirit in our salvation. Titus 3 says, "But when the kindness and love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit." Father, Son, Holy Spirit. God saved us because we couldn't save ourselves. God did for us what we couldn't do for ourselves, and that's extend grace to us that we might be saved. Bill Hybels, who was the founding pastor of Willow Creek Community Church in Chicago, shares a story about how one summer he was on his summer vacation break and he loved sailing, and he put together a crew for his vacation to compete in a sailing race on Lake Michigan. And one of the guys who was part of the crew was not someone from his church, someone from the community, and didn't know Christ. And so part of his goal for the summer was not only to sail in a race, but he wanted to be able to share with this guy, share the message of salvation. But throughout the summer and the rigors of the training and the competition, he just never had that, what he thought was that perfect moment. Well, the vacation was coming to an end, and he realized he needed to have a conversation with this guy, so he just put it out there and asked him if he understood what it meant to be in a relationship with Christ. And the guy had no clue. Bill Hybels said, he took out a piece of paper, and he said, "Well, let me tell you, this is what religion says it means to be in a relationship with God." And he wrote on the paper the word do, D-O. And he showed the guy, and he said, "It's all about what you do. How often you go to church, how much money you give, whether you've been baptized, whether you follow the rituals, whether you keep the Ten Commandments, whatever it is, it's all about what you do." And he said, "But you know what? You can never do enough." He took the paper back and said, "This is what Jesus says it means to be in a relationship with God." And he added two little letters, N-E. And he gave the piece of paper back to the guy. And he says, "What's that say?" And the guy said, "Done." He said, "That's right. It's all about what Jesus Christ has done." You see, what we couldn't do for ourselves, Jesus did for us. He died on the cross. He rose again from the dead. He paid the penalty for our sin. He lived a righteous life. He is our substitute before God. And we can come to God not on the basis of what we do, but because of what Jesus Christ has done. Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 says, "We were dead in our trespasses and sins, but God, because of his mercy, because he was rich in mercy, and because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead, he saved us by grace." And what Ephesians 2 says is that salvation is a full connection and identification with Christ, because it says we were made alive with Christ, and we were raised up with Christ, and we were seated with Christ. Now, that's a lot to get your mind around. But what it is saying is that from God's vantage point, we're bound in time. But God, who created time and who is eternal, who lives outside of time, he looks down at us. And for any person who responds to that offer of grace and in faith receives Christ, they are seen as someone who has been made alive, raised up, and seated. In other words, their relationship with God is eternally secure because of what Christ has done. Paul put it this way in the book of Romans, in Romans chapter 8. "We know that all things work together for good to those who love God and are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son. And whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified." God has done everything for us. And in that moment, see, this is what it's talking about. In that moment where someone comes to understand this truth and the grace of God is offered to them and their response is one of faith, not works, but they believe what God has done in grace, holy zap, in that very moment, they are made alive with Christ, raised up with Christ, and seated with Christ. And you know what? That's happened for a lot of people here. But if you're here this morning and you have never experienced that, here's the good news. When you open up your life to Jesus Christ and to his grace, and you stop trusting in what you do, but you just believe in what Christ has done, God can do the same thing for you.
What a great message for all of us today. Pastor JP provides us with great insight. That is why we'd like to make it available to you on CD. Just get in touch and mention today's date. We'll send it your way for just $5. Or if you'd like to support this ministry, you can write us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or give us a call at 949-916-0250. That's 949-916-0250. For your gift of $25 or more, we will send you a signed copy of JP's new book, Facing Goliath. Please join us every Sunday at 9 or 11 a.m. at Crossline Church in Laguna Hills. The address is 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or check us out on the web at crosslinechurch.com. We're going to get to the address and phone number again in a moment. But before we do that, Pastor JP, do you have any insight from today's message?
Thanks, Greg. We're talking about salvation and what we believe about salvation. In the Hebrew Scriptures, the Hebrew word for salvation means to be brought into a roomy, spacious environment. In the New Testament, the Greek word for salvation means deliverance, and in particular, the deliverance from sin and its penalty of death. The Bible says that every person is in need of salvation because we're all sinners. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. In Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. But the free gift of God is salvation through Jesus Christ. You see, salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. From beginning to end, salvation is a work of God. It is His grace that rescues us from our lost condition. It is His grace that makes us alive from being dead. It is His grace that transfers us from an eternity in hell to an eternity in heaven. It is His grace that takes a life of emptiness and gives us the abundant life of Jesus Christ. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says, our condition used to be this. We were dead in our trespasses and sins. But what God has actually done is not just clean us up and not just dress us up and not just try to bring about moral reformation. God has actually made us alive. We are alive people in Jesus Christ. We've been saved by grace. We've been given new life in Jesus Christ. It is the life of Jesus that we now have, and it's all by grace through faith in Christ. That's the message of salvation, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. And if that's a message that you already believe, take some time and thank God for that great message. If it's a message that you're hearing for the first time, let this be the day that you put your faith in Jesus Christ. If you'd like to do that, I invite you to pray with me. Lord Jesus, I confess that I'm a sinner and I'm in need of grace. Thank you that you saved me by grace. I put my faith in Jesus Christ. I believe Jesus died for me. I believe Jesus rose from the dead. I believe that Jesus Christ is Lord. Come into my life, Lord Jesus, and save me. Thank you. By grace, you have saved me. In Jesus' name, amen.
We want to help you in your relationship with Christ. Please get in touch with us at Truth That Changes Lives, 23331 Moulton Parkway, Laguna Hills, California, 92653. Or call us at 949-916-0250. On the internet, you will find us at crosslinechurch.com. We hope to see you at one of our services every Sunday at our new campus in Laguna Hills. For more information and directions, please go to crosslinechurch.com. Please join us next time on Truth That Changes Lives.
The cross before, the world behind, no turning back, it's the best.